Hello, listeners. This is Faisal Jadir, one half of Faisal Square, the Sleepless Critics. So the other Faisal is not around because this is very early morning on Friday. The introduction we had recorded before the pre-credits was deleted somehow. It just got lost in the database, so this is just me filling the void. We apologize for not being around for the last few weeks. I was sorting the new changes, you know, for the podcast. We are going to be moving to a site, I hope, very soon. So this site would function as both a host for this podcast, for Sleepless Critics, on one blog, and the other blog would be a domain for my own personal research in all things media, let's say, specifically cinema, but you will have literature, you will have comics, video games, television, podcasts, and, you know, touch news, I guess, covered and, you know, connected through all these. I mean, the blog will be called Questing Through the Mediums, a cliche title. Rami from Montreal gave me a lot of crap for that, you know, for make it too epic, too Lord of the Ringsy, I guess, but whatever. It for me, it works. That's important. Bad news though. Once we do make the change to the new site and everything, there will be another Sleepless Critics podcast on iTunes, the new one. So that means those of you who are subscribed to us on iTunes, and we appreciate that very greatly, you will have to subscribe to a whole other one now because of the changes and because the RSS feed probably can't be contained, you know, and I think it's a complicated process to keep the same one. So I'm very sorry, but I hope you guys could just make the transition smoothly. Tell all your friends who are not aware of that to go ahead and look for the new account. We will announce it, of course, like next week. Once it comes out, we will show you the link to the new site, obviously, and, you know, we will just spread the awareness ourselves, of course. but we hope you guys can be vigilant and do the same. Also, another thing, we will, because of the new changes, once that is effective, once we are very comfortable, the podcast will have specials. You know, we will have some mini episodes where we might answer questions, dedicated just to answering questions and, you know, any feedback you might give us. There will be specials like, you know, movie specials, TV specials, where we would just, you know, specifically talk about one movie or a director or a franchise or whatever. And, you know, all sorts of fun stuff, I hope. And, you know, we really hope you guys enjoy it. You deserve it, you know, frankly. We're very grateful for the wonderful reception we've been receiving. Another thing, those of you who are on Twitter, please make use of our account. You know, try to contact us whenever you can, if you need to. We are at Sleepless Critics. This is SleepessCritix. No CS, just X, because there's no space. And this is actually my account that I've generously donated to the podcast. But it should be cool. You know, we really want you to get in touch with us when you can or when you feel like it. And, you know, hopefully we have a lot of fun. So, yeah, thank you so much for being patient and showing understanding for our absence. But we hope to bring out this podcast every week, and if not every week, every other week. But hopefully there will be other things to keep you occupied when we don't have the main podcast thing. All right. Well, take care. I hope you enjoy the eighth episode.
Why is the raven like a writing desk?
Hello? Anyone in there?
I'm not talking to you. You broke my breath.
Jafar, he's our man. If he can't do it,
great!
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
I was frozen today!
No! No! That does not happen, movie! That just does not happen!
Troy and Abed in the morning!
Let's not stand on ceremony here.
Fucking people.
Give me another series, you shit.
Has the whole world gone crazy? Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules?
Monsieur! Has it worked?
I'm in the Empire business.
Yes! Well, welcome back, listeners. So, an official welcome back to episode 8. An official welcome back to the podcast where we would be doing episode 8.
Welcome to Sleepless Critics, Vessel Squared, a film podcast.
Film podcast. Media podcast as well. Film / media.
Pop culture.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, we're going to talk about the Abu Dhabi Film Festival since it's starting today because we're recording on Thursday, the
24th
of October.
And when you hear this, hopefully it would be the 25th and beyond.
It should come out on Friday.
Yes.
So, the opening night is today.
That is tonight.
What is the opening night film?
Are
you checking now?
I will... This is, by the way, we should point out, this is the first time I'm actually Googling during
the recording
of the podcast. Yeah, we try to, well, not act professional, but refrain from anything, you know.
It's a useful. Jennifer Aniston film. It's directed by Daniel Schechter, I think.
Something
that's his name.
Or Denise? Is it Denise? Oh.
Who's Denise?
I don't know. Life of Crime.
Rife of Crime.
Okay. Rife of Crime.
Rife of Crime.
Yeah, Daniel Schechter, yeah. Based on an Elmer Dener novel. He passed away
recently,
a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a shame. Oh, Mark Boone. Yeah, Junior. It was coming.
So, Tim Robbins is in this. The guy from
Batman Begins
is in this.
Flash. Mark Boone.
Jennifer Aniston is in this. But I have no interest to watch this film.
Mm-hmm.
John
Hawks. Mo's Def. Or Yassine Bey.
Will Forte.
And Isla Fisher? Is it Isla or Isla?
I think it's Isla. Anyway.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah,
we're
so
not going to watch that.
I'm not going to watch that.
We're not going to
watch
that.
Yeah.
We're both...
Industry
accredited members? I don't know. What would you...
Sure. Well,
sure.
Professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because we both work in theater, so we got accredited.
I've done film as well.
You more than me, but
well,
my CV only had theater on, so
it will have film later. But
okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm just stating facts.
So yeah, we're both accredited, and we get to enjoy some of those privileges, like going to those panels.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. There's the master's classes, the workshops, some of the documentary screenings, the short film screenings, the
restorations,
the competition
classics,
screenings,
yeah,
are all free for the
sure.
for the industry members.
Yes.
So it's cool. I mean, we've only bought tickets for 5 films,
mm-hmm.
4 of which are classics,
restorations,
because we know that it's an opportunity to watch on the big screen.
Yeah. And considering that we haven't seen The Red Shoes before, that would be something new to see it on the big screen. And I'm looking forward to seeing Once Upon a Time in the West on the big screen. Of the 4 films?
Of the 4 classics.
I saw Once Upon a Time in the West, and I saw Dial M for Murder. Thief of Baghdad I saw when I was 7 or 6. But, you know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, like, it's going to be a whole new experience anyway, seeing it on the big screen. And,
yeah.
You know.
And The Red Shoes you haven't seen?
The Red Shoes I still have not seen. Yes.
Okay. I've seen Dial M. I've seen Dial M 3 times, I think.
Mm.
I love that film.
Yeah.
And I've seen half of Thief of Baghdad.
Mm.
I have not seen Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, you haven't?
No, no, no.
You did?
No,
oh,
no.
Oh,
no.
You're
I've
in
seen...
for a show tonight? Well, then, that night, sir.
Next week.
I was like, you're in for a show tonight, son.
No, I saw the Dollars trilogy.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
Red Shoes, obviously, I haven't seen, and yeah, no, it's gonna be good.
It's gonna be cool, and we're gonna see
Only Lovers Left Alive
from Jim Jarmusch.
Jim Jarmusch.
This is on
yeah.
Wednesday, the 30th of October.
Yeah,
6 o'clock or something. Yeah,
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Tom Hiddleston and
Tilda Swinton,
which is a brilliant choice for leads.
Mm.
No, I'm excited to see that because. you know...
You recently got into journalism.
Yeah, yeah. I've watched Mystery Train, which is a brilliant film.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch Down by Law,
mm.
which looks good. I mean, I like Benigni.
Mm.
What else? You told me about Coffee and Cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm not going to defend it as a great movie or anything like that, but it's kind of interesting to see all these different shorts put together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, my favorite short in that film was Steve Coogan and Steve Coogan and Alfred Molina. It's good. Where Alfred Molina...
Doc Ock.
Yeah, Doc Ock.
Alan Partridge and Doc Ock.
Yes, which is very weird.
Yeah.
But yeah. Or who else was he? Alfred Molina. Like,
Alfred
who very notable.
I mean, I remember the most as Dr. Octopus.
Sure, but there was something
else. Actually, something else I remember him from is these sketches that Craig Ferguson does.
Oh, right.
About Angela Lansbury. And Alfred Molina comes in, I think, as Sherlock Holmes.
Really? Oh, I didn't see that.
and Craig Ferguson doing Angela Lansbury comes in and is like, has there been a murder? There's been a crime of murder.
Tale as old as mine.
But they're funny, and
yeah.
I remember him for that.
Right.
I don't think... I mean, I've seen him in some stuff.
Mm.
But I remember him from that Selma Hayek film.
Frida.
Frida.
Yes.
Where he played Frida's husband.
He was in Chocolat as well.
Was he?
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the movie in full, but yeah, he was.
Okay.
I remember he was like sort of not bullying, but condescending to Peter Stormare's character.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't remember Chocolat. Mm.
Well, there's probably a reason for that anyway.
Anyway,
it's
so
like
yes.
a subtle Titanic of its day.
Right, so Only Lovers Left Alive by Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah, sure.
Should be good. Should be. I've heard good reviews from the London Film Festival and the Berlin, I think, Film Festival was recently.
Who loved Jarmusch?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I think some of this movie was filmed in Germany.
There's no French... this isn't a French co-production, is it?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I can't tell you.
Just curious.
But, no, it looks exciting. The classic film looks exciting. The first of which is going to be Thief of Baghdad on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the other ones are going to be... the
weekend.
Other four...
The Halloween weekend.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's good. It's going to be a packed week.
Yes.
Because we also have rehearsals on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite to interfere with our movie watching. I mean, like, in general. Like, because there are other films that I... It's not like, I should... go out and see this right now, but I mean, like, you never know, like, they might catch my interest, and then I'd be like,
yeah,
you know, oh, I'd like to see this today, you know, something.
Oh, yeah,
like, you know, like,
well, I usually sometimes watch a film before I go to bed at night, you know, so I it's not a big problem.
Oh, I'm talking about the film festival.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought generally.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, like, the movie.
Well,
like,
I've only set my mind on those five films for now. I don't think. Unless I'm like it happens to, like, we've canceled, let's say, a rehearsal for some reason, and we have nothing to do, I don't mind, you know, passing by and seeing if we can get into some.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, that looks to be the schedule.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a fun week.
So if you guys are interested in meeting us up, hit us on Twitter. If you ever have questions or requests,
oh yes,
or queries,
now
please.
We're now announcing that we will take questions.
Yes.
If you're listening to this between now and next Thursday, please send us the questions on the Sleepless Critics account.
Yes.
We will save them and we will try to answer them at the beginning of the next episode.
Yes.
And it should be a recurring segment where we spend 10 minutes answering questions.
And by the way, guys, I do not think this will ever hit Facebook. Like, I don't think I'm going to see... I don't see myself making a Facebook page because I'm probably going to leave Facebook... sometime later.
I've left Facebook 4 years ago and I've never looked back.
Good for you, sir.
Thank you.
Good
sir.
For you.
Thank you. I should get him.
It's all fun, man. See?
Right. So we haven't seen any new films
in cinemas,
but
we will see Gravity soon.
Soon, very soon. We are still a bit ticked off that it's not on IMAX, but we'll watch it now.
By the way, I have to just say, if anybody from Shooting Stars is listening to this, you promised us that it would come to IMAX.
Yeah.
Okay. You promised that it would come to Maidan IMAX. Okay?
And instead, we got...
No. What's that Stallone movie?
Escape Plan.
Okay. Yeah, well done. Well done.
All right.
I'm going to see Arnold on IMAX.
Are you fine now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Bicycle Thieves.
Yes.
This
is one of your new purchases.
Yes, as I've recently discovered the ability to buy things online, which for a while I thought was a myth.
A myth? I told you, though. You didn't believe the legend of me buying and purchasing all these different...
To me, it didn't seem like it was plausible. Like, what? They've sent it to your house? No. It felt like something that is out of a fairy tale, you know?
Right.
No, that is way into the future. We'll never get to that in my lifetime.
No.
And I set up this Aramex account, and I decided to try it out. And I first ordered two Ozo movies and an Almodovar movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to see if this works, you know? How long would it take? How cheap would it be? And lo and behold, it arrived. And I actually had reservations about the whole thing until I opened the package.
Yes.
Until I opened the package, I thought, wow, this works. This is something that I can use.
Congratulations, sir. You are no longer a Luddite. Even though you have a PS3 and an iPhone and everything.
Okay. No,
but still, this broke the...
I don't know why this has been something that I thought...
An obstacle.
Yes, because I buy films every week almost.
Yeah.
You know, I try to grow my collection...
from the little scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have this ability now, because what we used to do is just pass by Virgin or any random video store.
Mm-hmm.
And try and find the good stuff we want to get. You
sure.
know, we've recently got into buying a lot of the front row films.
Yeah.
Yeah, Front Row is this
our, you know, a convenient version of Criterion.
Well, yes, yes and no.
Yes
but,
and no,
but well, it's a distribution company based in Dubai,
yes.
And they pick out these films that don't have big distribution companies that will allow them to get all the way over here.
I mean, Mortal Kombat was on that. And
oh,
it's New Line. You know, I mean,
New Line
still is pretty big. I mean, especially, man, like...
Yeah, but,
that...
I mean, the thing is, like, most of these companies don't put a lot of effort into the films that Front Row put out now, you know?
Mm.
So it's good to see them actually supporting these films and distributing them. And it's cool because they have, you know, different classes of films. So they'd have the cult movies, they'd have the modern classics...
Sure.
They'd have the foreign classics.
Mm.
So it's nice to you know, classify
variety.
Them like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, I bought...
Bicycle
Thieves. All of this leads up to... I bought Bicycle Thieves on Blu-ray.
Yes.
The BFI edition, which is very cool.
The BFI are great.
Yes. It has both the DVD and the Blu-ray in the box.
I wish Mark Kermode loved Bicycle Thieves so much so that he would have like an obligatory commentary essay and everything encrypted in the DVD. He's like, you watch this.
I think there is a commentary on there, but I'm not sure about who.
It's not Mark Rowe.
No, I can testify to that.
Just immediately.
Anyways, so yes, Bicycle Thieves, directed by
Vittorio De Sica.
Vittorio De Sica. Yeah. In
1940.
I think either 9 or 8.
Wait, hold on. Umberto D was 52, right?
Yes.
50?
I think so.
So this one must have been...
I'm just going to quickly go to my IMDb app.
I should mention, the Luddite has now picked up his iPhone. He's about to Google... Not
okay,
Google, actually. The IMDb app.
1948.
Excellent.
Okay, so it came out in 1948. It's a neo-realist Italian film. Starring mostly amateur actors.
All of them were
I found out. That, yeah, he had some. He was proposed by the production company to hire some American actors for the film, but then he decided to go with a fully amateur cast. And
they were good.
Yes.
They were good.
Interestingly enough, the female actress who played the wife was a reporter from a magazine, I think, who came to interview Vittorio De Sica before the shooting of the film. And he thought she looked good enough for the wife and cast her.
Did he end up marrying her after that?
I don't know.
Because that would have been hilarious.
I don't know. But that, I thought that story was nice.
Yeah, it is.
So it's about a, I mean, not to go too much into it, but it's about a father and his son who go out in Rome looking for his stolen bicycle.
Yeah, and keep in mind, this is post-World War II.
Yes.
So, I mean...
Yes, this is during the...
their depression, basically.
Yes, their version of the depression, the Italian version of the depression that happened post-World War II, post, you know, all the fascist movements.
Yeah.
So it's... I mean, I should begin to say that it's a beautiful film.
Beautiful.
I mean, just... If you get it, get it on Blu-ray. I mean, the transformation is not brilliant, but it's good enough. But sit down in a dark room and just gaze at it, because it is beautiful. The black and white is more colorful than most colored films.
Yeah,
it's just
cinematography.
Oh yeah, the angles, it's just such a good film. I mean, it's rarely nowadays, because I've seen a lot of the best films in my life between the ages of 18 and 20, right? And it's rare since I've watched films that touch me and influence me so much.
This is one of 15 films that made me either teary-eyed or just, you know, a little like...
Well, emotional.
Yeah.
No, I agree completely.
Umberto D also, I keep mentioning that just because it's sort of the underdog of this, the neorealist.
Yeah.
Because it's not always... You know,
because he himself has... A trilogy of sorts,
yes,
with Miracle in Milan and Bicycle Thieves. No, actually, it's a quadruplegy. It's four films. It's Miracle in Milan, Bicycle Thieves, the Shoe Shiners, I think, and Beware of the Kid, something like that. But it's four films that he made, I think, in the space of 7 years, and they all discussed matters of childhood in depressed Italy.
Yeah,
and some of them were inspiring, some of them were sad, some of them were depressing, some of them were funny, but they were all very good.
Yes,
Umberto D came afterwards, and it discussed a more adult theme. And well, you saw it. What do you want to say about it?
Well, Umberto D, I think, is somewhat existential. I mean, really, because it is about this old guy, this old man who. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't have anything. He just has his dog. He's just getting kicked out of his apartment, I believe, because he has no money. He has very little money. And he just wants to kill himself.
Right.
Really, he wants to kill himself. And he just tries to find ways to... He wants to give his dog away and stuff like that. And people are like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, because he wanted to try and just say, like, take care of him for a few weeks and I'll come pick him up. He's like... you know, I was like, yeah, a lot of people just leave their dogs here. We're not going to take it for them, you know? And it's really just about someone who's hit rock bottom and everything, you know? And the ending, by the way, like, yeah, like the build up to the way it ends, it's very sad, but then it's not, there's no like forced sentimentality, nothing
right.
like that. It's a really good ending. And,
well, when
and
you
it's,
told
it's,
me about this one, I told you I watched Bicycle Thieves and you told me to watch Umberto D. That synopsis you told me about, you said at the time, reminded me a lot of Ikiru, which is a Kurosawa film.
Yes.
And that is about a depressed man as well.
Yes.
So, how would you compare the two?
Well, the thing is, Ikiru, like, I have to be honest, I saw it a while ago, like, before Umberto D, and I don't remember it that much. Like, I don't think I watched it properly, even though it was in class, but still... but they're both strong in their own ways. But I think Ikiru is less, I guess. I think Ikiru is a bit more upbeat from what I remember, but I could be wrong. You know,
okay.
It could have just been the effects I was experiencing at the time.
Well,
but
we could.
Umberto D is depressing.
Okay.
It's
well,
depressing.
We could have a double feature of the two.
Yeah, we could. Yeah, and then
so,
compare them.
And then compare them.
Yeah.
But, well, let's get back to Bicycle Thieves. in Bicycle Thieves, a kid,
yeah,
is great.
Really good.
I mean,
he's proper Italian.
Oh yeah, oh
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
I
really,
mean,
like the archetype of...
He is not your average kid. He has, you know, some...
energy. That,
yeah, he's very dynamic, and he has these adult mannerisms,
yeah,
which make him so charming. And you just, you see him, you just fall in love with him.
Didn't you feel like he was more of, let's say, more of a fighter than his father at times? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
like
I think,
he felt
like he was
giving him the push he needed.
Well,
to,
yeah,
to
but that
going.
Was normal because
yeah.
his father went through a lot
sure.
by the time his bike was stolen. It's
yeah.
just, it felt like he was getting hit and hit and hit.
Mm-hmm.
The child had more faith and ambition at the time because he was a child, you
yeah.
know? He had what we saw was a job, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he did his job, you know, and he had, let's say, a spark in him that his father might have lost
sure.
during the time he kept losing jobs, kept, you know, trying to get a job, but not being able to because of his bike, because of, you know, a situation at the house. So... I think because of that, that's why the son had more faith in
mm-hmm.
everything, you know, and kept spurring his dad on,
mm-hmm.
you know. But there's so many scenes we can talk about, but I'd rather not
yeah.
spoil it for anyone.
Well, one thing I will say is that the movie is not dated at all.
No.
None of these movies are dated.
No.
Like, because he focuses on his characters really well.
Mm-hmm.
He lets them... breathe, like they get to move around like freely in this environment and everything, and it's amazing the scope they have for, you know, a low budget film, really, like a film made out of nothing, and you know, you feel like this is a real story, like stuff is happening, it's not like some set and everything, like this gritty realism is perfect.
Now, from the first
yeah.
10 minutes of the film,
mm-hmm.
you've established a connection with all of the characters that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you start this journey with them.
Yeah.
You know? When they're sad, you're sad. When they're happy, you're happy. And it just creates this emotional connect that not many films can do that nowadays. And many of these films that try to do that
mm-hmm.
are generally based on fake connections,
yeah.
you know? But this film is so... I mean, I can't even say more than it's
well,
so good.
Well, one thing I love, and you love too, is that this is one film which really... you know, hits you, not hits you on the head, sorry, but just lays down the idea, the notion that, yeah, the environment, that the circumstances you face can mold you to something else, something that you are not.
Of course.
In this case, you know, you get to see the life of a thief and what it takes to become a thief, what it means to steal. And
well, yeah.
Which is
yeah.
why...
I mean,
you
it's
know,
called
like,
Bicycle Thieves.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's the title itself
mm.
becomes...
very relevant over...
In many ways,
yeah.
and not in just one definition,
no.
but in many definitions throughout the film.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, listen,
really
I'll just say this: if you're a fan of films,
yeah.
and you haven't seen this yet, watch it. Watch it as soon as possible because you should be ashamed of yourself.
I give this a perfect 10 out of 10.
Oh yeah, easy, easy. I mean,
and a Bird to Thief, to be honest.
I will have to watch that.
Yeah, but I like this more.
Mm.
Bird to Thief, personally.
It's a very good story. It's a very good, well-acted, well-directed film. It's excellent. I mean, I'm just so happy that I've seen it recently because I missed that. I think I mentioned this before. I missed that feeling you get after watching such a good film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's half happiness and half sadness because you're not going to watch it and have the same feeling again, you know?
But you could. I mean, it
depends
on...
But the first time you
sure.
watch it,
sure.
That experience you go through is unique. It's not going to be the same until you watch another great
But you
film.
Know what, though? You know what? Like, City Lights, I can watch that over and over again. The ending is still going to make me...
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, really, because it was so perfect. But,
well,
so, to move on to the other film that's quite similar to this, I recently watched the very elegant production of Spaceballs for the first time.
Spaceballs, directed by
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
Madman Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks, famous director of many, many comedy films.
Absurd comedies. He's not for everyone. I have to say this. He's definitely not for
Young Frankenstein.
I love that.
Young
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
And Blazing Saddles.
Blazing
Saddles.
I think
it's great.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's very good. Yeah, it's weird. But it is a variety film of its own. I mean, they're all variety films, let's be honest. Like, they're all, like, you know, in the same league as the Marx Brothers, you know, or Monty Python, or Animaniacs, and Looney Tunes.
Now, for a
like
while,
that.
Mel Brooks, for me, was a one-man Monty Python in America.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
Him and occasionally Carl Reiner.
Occasionally, yeah.
Have you heard the 2,000-year-old man sketch or something? It's about the guy who was there since the birth of Jesus, I guess.
Oh, yeah?
And he was like experiencing, you know, just like sort of summing up the world in his own, what's it called? And I haven't really listened to all of it, but like he just insults everyone, including women. You know what I mean? Like he just...
So Spaceballs
yeah.
is a... parody film, it's a spoof film.
Of Star Wars, mainly.
Mainly,
yeah.
And there are a lot of other spoofs and parodies in it.
It's meta, by the way.
It is. Starring Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis as Darth Helmet? Or Dark Helmet?
Dark Helmet, but let's not say more than that.
No.
Because people need to discover him by by themselves.
Yes. John Candy plays this version.
Chewbacca.
Yes. And Bill Pullman,
the president from Independence Day,
yes, is
Han
Solo.
Han Solo.
I mean, like, wow,
he's Han Solo.
It's weird.
And
then some chick I don't know.
She's
Leia, basically.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I don't remember the actress's name, but
something.
A mime plays the sort of C-3PO character of this film. But she is voiced by Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Sorry, not Dolly Parton. Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers,
I always
yes.
get confused between them. They're
similar
but different, but weird. But anyway.
Anyways.
Yeah, and it's a fun movie. I mean, I think it's really enjoyable. I think with Mel Brooks, you either love or hate his films. But, like, I enjoyed the Dracula movie, as stupid as it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really, you know, funny in moments. Because I do like absurd comedy, you know. But... sometimes it can go too far.
Yeah.
It can. Like Men in Tights as well. Like sometimes it just, most of the time it didn't do it for me, but it was still funny. Like I could still laugh. But this one, I think it had a good mixture of like, okay, we're just spoofing the movie and then we're making it our own. And then we're going to spoof the film industry itself and the idea of filmmaking, what you could do with the medium of film as well. I love the way that bit where they're like, the movie just stopped. Turn back on the lights on. And it's funny. I think it's like it's sort of like that Flash Gordon movie and Rocky Horror Picture Show at times. Like I felt that, like especially towards the end. How do I explain the movie without like giving away?
I don't think you should because I've seen it. I think 6 months ago. With Rashid.
When you were on a Mel Brooks binge. Right?
Yes, I was watching Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs.
Yeah.
And Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But I've seen Young Frankenstein before, but I haven't seen Blazing Saddles or Spaceballs at the time.
Yeah.
So I saw this for the first time with Rashid, who's our friend and One Word Critic.
Yeah. The brother of
Asil. Yeah. And I remember at the end, no, actually, first 10 minutes maybe, there's an absurd joke somewhere at the first 10 minutes, and he goes, "What the hell is this?" And I laughed a lot. It was very funny. It was a very good film.
Yeah. Young Frankenstein, by the way, I saw that first when I was 8. And when I saw it, I had come back from a long trip from the States and from London. And, you know, I was jet lagged and everything. So occasionally I'd just watch this star movies or whatever. And there was this black and white film that I took seriously, by the way. I didn't think it was too... funny at the time. I thought it was a horror movie. Like proper, full-on horror.
The Maltese Falcon.
Yeah. No, well, okay. The Maltese Falcon with Gene Wilder. I love when he's just like, how many times have I told you to not bother me when I'm working? When he's in bed with...
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
It's nice just... knockers. Oh,
yeah.
Thanks,
knocker. Would you like a roll in the hay? It's fun! Roll in the hay!
Roll in the hay!
And Gene Hackman played this blind man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who played the Frankenstein? The Frankenstein monster?
Oh, Peter Boyle.
Oh.
Raymond's dad.
Raymond's
dad. Everybody loves Raymond.
Yes.
Marie! Eggs! But I like the movie very much. And also, like, on a personal level, because I'm a fan of the original classic Universal Frankenstein movie and Bride of Frankenstein. And I like what this movie did. I love how it took elements from those movies, made it their own. It's their own mythology, really. And there's a proper story.
Yeah.
It has a proper story. I think it's more straight than anything Mel Brooks has ever done, I think, compared to Silent Movie, compared to, To Be or Not to Be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, that's fairly straight, I guess, but it's more, it's more of a...
To Be or Not to Be.
Farcical. Yeah, the remake of that... the remake of the Criterion release.
That one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The one with Hitler.
Lubitsch, I think. Ernest.
Yeah, Ernest Lubitsch. The one with Hitler.
Yes.
This one
is Hitler, also.
But he remade it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't
him. I don't remember the director, but he was a part of it, obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see the original.
Me
it looks
too.
Fun.
Me too. I haven't seen the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one, I thought this one was good, to be or not to be. But Spaceballs was fun.
Good.
Spaceballs. I'm sorry, but I haven't seen, other than Ingmar Bergman's The Virgin Springs, which I will get to on another podcast when we have a Bergman special. Because that's too heavy. But to say the least, I will give that movie a 10 out of 10, Virgin Springs.
Very good.
Or 9, at least. It's pretty strong.
Mm.
I don't know, we come to appreciate Bergman, like, over time.
Oh, of course.
You know, you get to really...
You just watch Seventh Seal and you're a fan.
Oh, yeah, huge fan. Yeah, it's very, very good.
Don't need more.
No, because I saw Persona once in class, and because I fell asleep at one point, because it was early morning and I hadn't got much sleep, and I woke up and I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, really, like, no, I can't, I have a negative image of Bergman now.
I found out that falling asleep during or after these typical art house, picks, tend to produce very weird dreams.
Yes. During the movie,
not necessarily a good thing at sometimes,
When I was nodding off, sometimes I would have the weirdest images and wake up, nod off and wake up.
It's not something I'd recommend doing. Later becomes a very surreal experience because you try to notice it and try to grasp it.
Yeah.
But when you do on purpose, it never happens. But when it just happens,
mm-hmm.
it tends to produce very, lucid dreaming.
Yes.
That tends to put you in these places that you thought you yourself can never dream of.
I know.
I can't say more than that, but I'm just saying.
One thing I could say is I really hope nobody has lucid dreaming after the secret of this podcast. Because, by the way, it is one of the worst things I've experienced. Because I told you, man, like, sometimes I'd see, like, women or whatever sitting next to me. Like
sometimes I'd see
women. No, but ghostly.
Okay,
women, you know what I mean? Like, and then I'm like, leave. Please leave. And I'm like trying to move and I'm paralyzed.
Sleep paralysis. Because of this podcast?
No, you idiot. I'm just saying, after hearing all these ideas and everything, and then they, just end up dreaming them themselves. And,
Okay.
Yeah. well, on to the next segment. I hope you... Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so Bicycle Thieves, 10 out of 10, watch it.
Yeah.
Spaceballs, I would say 9 out of 10.
I'd give it a 7.
Okay.
I didn't love it that much, but I mean, I enjoyed it.
No, I consider it to be a classic.
Sure. No, classic is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I consider Wizard of Oz a classic, but I don't like the movie as much as I did when I was a kid.
There you go.
You know what I mean? But still, it's a classic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Right, this is the freestyle segment.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm well, sir. And you?
I'm okay.
Okay.
So,
how have you read The Court of Owls?
No.
Have you read the other one?
No.
No, okay.
Look, the only comic right now that I've read and actually grabbed me was, yes, League of Extraordinary.
Which is a phenomenal... Phenomenal.
It's brilliant. I'm halfway through the first one.
Yes.
No, it's brilliant. I'm a big fan.
I love
of the
books.
Comic.
I love the books.
Yeah.
Those are the first things that really got me into buying graphic novels continuously for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they were so clever, and it made me realize how awful that movie was.
As fun
as it is. It can be. It's
at the time,
stupid.
I was a fan.
Oh yeah,
when
I first saw it.
Yes,
so
I was a fan of the film at the time. I had the.
I was a fan of Van Helsing. I mean, I was a fan of Van Helsing, and it's a stupid, boring movie now. Not boring, but just stupid.
Even back then, I saw Van Helsing and I saw League, and I thought League was better.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah.
Now I know both are crap.
Yeah.
But at least back then I knew Van Helsing was crap.
Yeah.
But you were a fan of the Van Helsing.
Yeah. It was.
You know,
mythology. I love the universal monsters. I love the gothic angles. I love the, you know, the biblical allusions. I love all that. But when you look at it now, it's like, yeah, that's all great or whatever. But it's soulless.
Yeah.
It's soulless,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it's the steampunk doesn't work.
No,
it doesn't work, and it's really cold. And
there was a rise of steampunk.
With League of Extraordinary.
Well, yeah, during that time, there was a rise for the steampunk, let's say...
What brought it on, though?
I don't know what brought it on.
I mean, I'm trying to think now.
But everyone's tried to incorporate
because
it
now everything is about being dark and gritty, quote-unquote, of course, because now everything is like...
Films or just everything?
Well, video games have been dark anyway for a while, but
yeah.
Films. Like, okay, they're like, oh, Dark Knight made $1 billion, okay, let's make... Spider-Man completely dark.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, no, Spider-Man can be dark, and it has been dark, but
yeah,
you're making the character too dark.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work as well. And Hansel and Gretel Witch-Hunters, fair enough, but you're still going overboard.
I know.
You know? I mean, I don't know. It's a silly... because every studio, all studios have this thing, oh, Jaws made a lot of money, let's do Piranha.
Right.
You know? Let's rip off Terminator.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because that made a lot of money. That's it. That's all it is. But what brought on the steampunk?
I don't know.
I can't narrow. Because this was around the early 2000s.
Yes, it was, yeah. I think somewhere between 2000 and 2008, there was a huge steampunk movement.
Mm.
But anyways.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Wild Wild West, though. I'm pretty sure it wasn't that.
No.
That
harmed it, if anything.
Although, I'm sorry to say this. I'm going to bring up Jonah Hex at one point, and it's now. Warner Brothers just made the same mistake with Jonah Hex that they did with Wild Wild West, and they're like, oh, we need to sell these to the teenagers, so let's just throw in these machines and put zombies as well, because, you know, that wasn't the Wild Wild West, but it might work here, you know, and
yeah,
let's fuck it up.
Yeah.
Jonah Hex, by the way, the new comics, probably Monty Gray or whatever, and Joe Lanza. Really, those are great comics. You have to read them one day, because they are...
Well, let me finish the Batman ones first.
Yes, yes.
Let me also finish the League
of Extraordinary.
Sorry.
I don't know why it's taking you that long.
I don't know. I'm a very visual...
I'm a visual guy, too.
Yeah, but I'm used to having a visual medium for, you know, transferring entertainment to
my
brain.
Well, this is visual, though.
Yeah, but it requires, you know,
of course, but
reading.
remember
and
that.
I'm illiterate.
Remember when the FI was like, and all this reading.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I still have the two Batman ones. No, four Batman comics.
Arkham Asylum and Dark Knight Returns.
And Dark Knight Returns and the Owlman
mm-hmm.
thing. And a Superman comic.
Which one?
The one you got me, Kingdom Come.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not specifically Superman.
It's not? It's a Justice
League? No, it's let's say all of them, but Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman are at the forefront. And
okay.
The Spectre is the one who guides you. And I think it's a masterpiece.
Very good.
This is one of the best written things, I think,
okay,
of the 20th century. At least.
So Kingdom Come.
Kingdom Come. Yeah,
and two, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Let me finish those, and then I can expand.
Okay.
Until then, feed me films.
Feed you films. One thing I wanted to touch on.
Oh, I want to mention that I have finally started my Criterion collection.
Yay! Congratulations! Welcome to the club!
Yes, yes, I've been wanting to own a couple since I found out about these things.
And watch them too.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of picks, but
yeah.
I mean, because they're Region 1,
yeah,
and because they're not regularly distributed here in the UAE, they used to sell them at Virgin, but not anymore because no one had
Region 1
players. It just became so difficult, and I kept putting it off. But now that I can order stuff online, as I mentioned earlier,
yeah,
it's just become easier.
Yeah.
So my three first picks, which I decided better to go DVD at the beginning and then move into Blu-ray when the time is right,
sure,
are Thief of Baghdad, which we're watching this Saturday.
Mm.
Exciting. Which is a
Conrad
two-
Veidt, by the way.
Mm.
One of the greatest, like, actors of the, those days.
And Sabu.
Yeah, Sabu. The kid who became a stereotype. No.
So, yes. I wanted to get that because it's a two-disc edition.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of extras.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good release.
Mm-hmm.
I also got Night Train to Munich,
yeah,
which is a Carol Reed movie.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Reed, yes, Carol Reed, who directed The Third Man. Very good film. I've seen clips from it. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And finally, Monty Python's
Life of Brian,
which I was surprised to find out when I found out that it was a Criterion release. I just thought I had to have this.
Yeah.
So I got that as well. But that is the old Criterion, let's say, design.
Mm.
But this is before they designed their logo that was a half circle thingy.
Oh, all right.
So, I'm so happy to have launched my collection of Criterions, and hopefully from now on every other month I can receive 5 to 10, you know,
yeah,
DVDs and Blu-ray. So just wanted to
keep an eye out for Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
week,
oh yeah,
where
which is coming soon.
Yes,
which is
like
coming soon
in a month.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving week, and also the Barnes and Noble sales.
Ah, yes.
Those are usually good times to buy Criterion.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, yes, if you're listening and you would like to
keep an eye out for Blu-ray.com,
yeah,
if you're into the Blu-rays or whatever, and they should be able to show you all the price drops on Amazon.
Yeah. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but we're both collectors.
Yo, I think it was implied.
Yeah, I thought it was implied. Anyways, yes.
No, I mean, by the way, you kindly got both of us
copies
of Zardoz.
I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, yes, Zardoz.
Which, by the way, I have to just point out, is now it gave me a new outlook on, not on life, but on buying movies for the rest of my life. No, because I told you, by the way, there's some movies, like, I'm not going to say anything about Zardoz because I haven't seen the movie in full.
Of course.
But
Before you say anything, we are going to do a commentary for Zardoz.
Yes, we will, eventually. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You know, some movies that I don't necessarily think are good or they're just okay. You know, I find that, you know, even if I enjoy them anyway, I don't mind them having them in my collection and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I did give away, for example, Taken, because I didn't really want to, you know, like, just watch that anymore, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
there's nothing, I mean, it's cool, Liam Neeson is awesome and everything, but there's nothing more to it for me.
Right.
You know? But Zardoz and, like sort of, Con Air and things
yes.
like that, you know, like, I don't mind having them in my collection. Like, those are, like,
cult
for me,
yes,
for me, and cult in the very, you know.
No, I understand fully.
Yeah.
There's you also gave away Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, but because I want to get the.
No, of course.
Yeah.
To me, any edition of Mortal Kombat is cult.
Yeah.
You know? So I would keep that. I understand why you would give it away,
yeah,
but.
Oh, I love the cover. Anyway, the cover is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So yes, Zardoz.
Zardoz is.
I. I watched a couple of reviews. I don't know what to say about Zardoz. We'll talk about it more later, but
yes.
Zardoz is a very funny film. It's a very, very funny film, not on purpose.
No. And the most comedies are not on purpose. I mean, honestly.
It stars Sean Connery and Charlotte Rampling.
This doesn't quite... It's not better than the Room, though, right?
No.
The Room is not a...
No, it's a whole different type of bad, but let's not go into it. It's directed by Charlie Borman, who directed Deliverance and Point Blank.
John Borman.
So I was on Amazon. It was I think 5 a.m. last week. And I just thought, I really want to own Zardoz on DVD or any format.
Yeah.
I was even going to buy the VHS, but they had to ship that from the US and I just wasn't bothered.
Mm.
So I thought, I want to buy it. So I went on the site and it was only selling like £4.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like 10 left in the stock. I thought, should I get them all? Should I get all 10 of them and just, you know, start circulating them between my friends? Just give them as gifts? And I thought, I don't want to be called the guy who gave out Zardoz DVDs. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So I just ordered two, and I told you there's a surprise for you.
Yeah.
I was surprised that you did not...
I didn't piece it together. Like, it should have been obvious to me before, but
because we had talked about it like 2 days before that, and I thought you'd figure out.
Yeah.
I had mentioned I wanted to buy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got you one as well. I did not tell you why I got you until I showed it to you.
Which I just burst out laughing.
I know you, and I think you would appreciate to have it in your collection. It's just
it's fair. It's right there, actually, somewhere.
Brilliant.
Well, it's not somewhere, but behind the. What's it called? Till I reorganize the
still closed as well. Very good.
Yeah, until you know the proper time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, well, that was the episode.
That was the episode. So, just remember, as of the 31st of October, the podcast will be on the new site. You will get a link to the site via Twitter. We will announce it on the next podcast anyway. Once I get the site finalized and everything, and. Please check that out. And
send us questions, please.
Questions on Twitter.
It doesn't have to be film related.
Anything.
Know more about us.
What is your favorite beverage on a desert island? If you had nothing else. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, anything like
so
that.
So anything, ask us anything.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed.
Yeah.
And
see you at the film festival.
Yes, come.
Man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Don't plan the plan if you can't follow through. All that matters, taking matters into your own hands. Soon I'll control everything. My wish is your command.
Stand back, everyone, nothing here to see. Just imminent danger in the middle of it, me. Yes, Captain Hammer's here, hair blowing in the breeze. The day needs my saving expertise. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Seems destiny ends with me saving you. The only doom that's looming is you loving me today. So I'll give you a second to catch your breath.
Thank you, Hammerman. I don't think I can explain how important it was that you stopped the van. I would be splattered, I'd be crushed under debris. Thank you, sir, for saving me.
Don't worry about it. A man's gotta do what a man's gotta do.
Are you
seems
kidding?
Seems destiny.
What heist were you watching?
Saving you.
Stop looking at her like that.
When you're the best, you
did
can't
you
rest.
What's
the
garbage?
There's ass needs kicking, some ticking bomb.
I stopped the man.
Your remote control is in my hand.
Only doom that's looming is you loving me to death. So please give me a sec to catch my breath.